We'll commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of October 12, 2007, this is the Wren Report. Before we get started this week, a heads up for you who have missed the monthly FCC enforcement log reports. Thanks to Uddle Systems, they're now available via the Wren dial-up line at 773-358-7845. Press star. That's 773-358-7845. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. For the past 2 weeks, we took a look at the National Frequency Coordinators Council, the NFCC, and its letter to the FCC. This letter requested that D-Star modules, repeaters, be redefined as repeaters, so as to conform with analog repeater guidelines. One party who disagrees with the NFCC letter is Tim Barrett, K6BIV, trustee of the Mount Diablo, California 145.61 MHz D-Star module, and a board member of the NARCC, the Northern Amateur Relay Council of California. Rains Hapali, KC9RP, spoke with Tim this past week.
Thank you for the opportunity to say the other side of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, on the issue with the NFCC's recent Wren report, as well as their action, the letter that they sent to the FCC on this whole topic of D-Star. How this all happened for me goes back to 2006 at the Dayton Hamvention. I had been looking at the D-Star equipment for the several years prior to that, as it was being introduced by ICOM. In 06, they actually had working real stuff and people there that could talk about it and knew about it and had been playing with it and using it in the Dallas area for, I guess, about the prior year, decided to purchase a system. The purchase was done in late May. I signed up for there's an ICOM forum that ICOM hosts having to do with D-Star. And I signed up for that and started getting, a bunch of mail and postings about various topics. And there was one post from an individual named John Burningham, W2XAB, lives down in the Atlanta area. And he was explaining in a very technical manner why D-Star, from his point of view, is not a repeater. And it has to do with OSI levels and all types of stuff. John is a kind of a networking guru and is a professor at one of the colleges down there. Of course, much of what he was talking about was way over my head from a technical point of view. But it got me thinking as I approached our frequency coordinating entity, which is called NARC, Northern Amateur Relay Council of California, looking for a frequency to put the 2-meter area. In the Northern California area, the 145.5 and a lot of the 144 area has been used for packet probably since the 1980s or so. And, of course, back in that period of time, there was a lot of activity, and today there is little left of that. So there's substantially vacant frequencies that are not being used. I had gone to the NARC group, which I'd been a member of for many, many years, and asked them about it. They indicated that they had allowed a group called Northern California Packet Association to kind of handle the coordination or an NCPA's viewpoint allocation of the frequencies in the packet spectrum. And again, that was done back in the 80s when packet was in its heyday. I approached them and told them what I was trying to do. They settled on allowing me to try as an experiment 145.61 with an offset of 1.2 megahertz, which is what they considered a full duplex channel in their packet band. And since D-Star is clearly a digital form of communication, they felt it fell in their bailiwick, and of course I felt the same. As that system went up July 1st, 2006, on the mountaintop, I applied for a coordination through NARC, who's the organization that actually coordinates. NCPA doesn't really coordinate. They allocate, and I was looking more for a coordination. And one of the board members of the organization actually forwarded my request for coordination on to the FCC, I think specifically Riley Hollingsworth. And, of course, Riley and I then had some dialogue towards the end of July about whether D-Star could operate in that area, because in Part 97 it's what's called an exclusionary rule that says repeaters can effectively operate everywhere except, and it gives a couple of specifics where they're not allowed to operate. I mentioned to him that D-Star, that some people believe that it's not a repeater because of how it works, and he said that he didn't really know one way or the other, that I should contact an individual named William Cross, who was a guy I had never heard of within the Wireless Bureau, and of course copy Riley on the communications, which I did. Starting about July 28th in 2006 through about the 11th or so of August 2006, there was a series of email exchanges back and forth between myself, John Burningham, Riley Hollingsworth, and William Cross about this whole D-Star issue. Now, from John's point of view, he was explaining again in a very technical manner why the D-Star systems aren't repeaters, that they're more like packet node controllers or routers. And William Cross basically settled the simultaneous issue, because as the definitions in Part 97 read, a repeater is an amateur station that simultaneously retransmits the transmission of another amateur station on a different channel or channels. D-Star doesn't do that. So as a result of the delay issue and the non-simultaneous aspect alone, the FCC ended up allowing me and giving me an email that suggested that I certainly could operate there and recommended that I couldn't get coordinated, which, you know, was also something I wanted to do, but, you know, you got to do what you can do. And that's kind of how we ended up there.
For those who did not hear the interview I did with Jay Maynard, K5ZC, the president of the National Frequency Coordinators Council, the NFCC sent a letter to the FCC. Talk a little about that letter and why you have a problem with it.
The NFCC was created to have a single point of contact between the coordinating entities in the various states or regions and the FCC on coordinating issues. The individual that apparently wanted that is no longer with the commission, and it certainly is my understanding that the commission itself doesn't have any desire for a single point of contact. So the NFCC for the last 11 years has kind of been an organization without a purpose. And I think this D-Star issue in this particular letter is something that they really wanted to get behind because they had a fire in their belly to do so. The part of the problem that I had with it had to do with the presentation of why the motion came to the floor of the NFCC. The way it was presented was that the FCC was going to change their ruling. So the NFCC agreed that there was a ruling made by the FCC in 06 that D-Star was not a repeater, could operate in the non-repeater part of the bands. That was what they felt anyway, and that language needed to be changed within Part 97 to do that, so that it would not be allowed to operate in the non-repeater part of the band. Of course, they cited that the reason for it is that analog systems with a digital delay could also say that they're not simultaneous, therefore not be repeaters either. Of course, they mentioned the ACC 850 controller. I know in 1987 I bought one, so it's slightly older than that. And I'm not aware of any issues over the last 20-plus years where somebody has tried to take an analog system and put it in the non-repeater part of the band using an ACC controller with digital delay and claiming it wasn't a repeater because of the digital delay. Their posture was that the FCC was going to change the ruling anyway and that the NFCC should get out in front of it so that the NFCC could take some credit for crafting the language of the change of Part 97. That was, again, the reason I felt that they shouldn't do that. Of course, the vote happened, 93 votes to send the letter and 54 votes not to send the letter. And not everybody voted, but so there was a 93 to 54 victory, if you will, to send the letter. But nowhere in the letter did it mention, or any of the emails that surrounded that letter, mentioned that there was votes against sending the letter. It implied that the NFCC unanimously was behind something. There was many people that believed that the letter shouldn't have been sent. That doesn't necessarily mean that those people that voted against sending the letter believe or don't believe that D-Star is or isn't a repeater. They just didn't feel that a letter was the appropriate thing to do. I wanted to get that on record.
I'm speaking today with Tim Barrett, K6VIV, trustee of the 145.61 Mount Diablo D-Star repeater, also a board member of NARCC, the Northern Amateur Relay Council of California. We'll be right back. This is the Rain Report. Tim, let's talk about the need to reallocate spectrum. This is really a need that falls more in the areas of urban population, i.e. California, Chicago, New York, and so forth. Do you feel that this needs to be a national reallocation of spectrum to allow room for D-Star to function without interference issues that do exist between analog and the D-Star?
I think that's probably the whole point, is I don't think any of this would have ever become an issue if there was spectrum available for D-Star or new technology to operate. One of the things that strikes me is the whole concept of what Part 97 and as its definitions and as the 205 section talk about where repeaters can't operate, it's to give spectrum for other things to either get a foothold or to operate. Because from the perception of the folks that wrote Part 97, if repeaters could go everywhere, then they would be everywhere and there'd be not an inch of spectrum left for any other purpose, which would not be the appropriate thing. So to me, the new technology of D-Star and others, and P25 would probably be similar to that, need some place to get a foothold so that they have at least the opportunity to be able to take over the current parts of the band as a result of them being more spectrally efficient. And that's, I think, what everybody is looking for, but how do we get there? Clearly that problem exists in the more populated areas of the country, much greater than areas where there's less population and there's less repeaters or systems. I do want to clarify that you called D-Star a repeater. I could accept that from a marketing point of view, but certainly not from a legal interpretation, because the whole issue here is that D-Star, it's not simultaneous, is not a repeater. So
D-Star module?
A D-Star module. Yep. I think that's an acceptable term for everybody. I think that's what should happen. The other thing that should happen is the letter, for instance, that the NFCC wrote is basically asking for an interpretation of a definition where the definition is clear. If we started doing that, where we started taking piece by piece of Part 97 and asking people to define it in a way that suits the person that's writing the request, it takes away at least the intent that I'm told by the people within the commission and the league as to why Part 97 is the way it is. I mean, Part 97 is a document whose purpose is to outline kind of the general framework of how amateur radio functions, what we can and can't do, as loosely as it possibly can as a written document, to give way to self-interpretations, whether they may be or whatever, where new technology is coming out, that there's no way for the Part 97 to address the new technology. From everything that I can get my arms around, September 1st of 1989 was the last time that there was a complete Part 97 rewrite. And, of course, there are people within both the league and the commission that believe that D-Star is a hybrid, a repeater at some times. It's a store and forward system other times. It's an auxiliary at other times. If they looked at it a little more deeply, they would find even other things that aren't even defined as a definition in Part 97 today. It's new technology. So a rewrite of Part 97 that updates Part 97 to better speak to the current state of the art, if you will, of amateur radio, I think is something that should happen. And that's irrespective of D-Star. For instance, there's some people believe that if the NFCC's language was adopted exactly like it is for this definition of a repeater, Sky Command, the Kenwood system, would not be able to operate in that section of the band, the VHF downlink part of it. Other people believe that that's an auxiliary, but again, it's not terribly well defined. And again, the language that's in the NFCC's letter is extremely well defined, but it could catch some people off guard. I don't know that it was crafted correctly. I think they had one agenda here, and that was to make sure that D-Star did not operate on 145.61 in Northern California. I'm not exactly sure why they care, because the people in Northern California are happy with it. And there's 130-some-odd users of the MDD system, with about 170 users of all the systems that are out here. There's four systems total that are in the Northern California area that are on 2 meters, all operating in this repeaters not allowed part of the band, if you will. It would be what we would consider the digital parts of the band out here.
Are we talking about 145.5 to 145.7?
It would certainly be operating in that area, yes. In fact, right now they would be operating from 144.51, that would be the first channel, to 145.69, that would be the last channel. That would be the outputs, with inputs 600 KCs minus 600, so the inputs would be 144.91, 10 KC steps to 145.09. So the outputs would be 144.510, every 10 KC steps to 145.690, with minus 600 KC or 0.600 megahertz.
Jim, have you given some thought to writing the text you would like to see put into a Part 97 rewrite?
I haven't myself. I did actually suggest to the NARC organization that we take the lead role on a change in Part 97, and that hasn't come up for a vote yet. We're just in the discussions on it. That really is the fix for all of this. I certainly would want to be on a panel that would be doing this to make sure the interests of D-Star and digital voice systems are properly represented. I was hoping that the ARRL would take the lead on this, but I'm not sure if they're going to or not. They have some pretty big issues to deal with right now with EPL and some other issues that are out here in California having to do with the Department of Defense issue and the PAFE pause and those other things that are affecting our 440 spectrum.
Jim, if someone would like to communicate with you more about this issue, where would they send their email to?
Well, I hope they could send it to K6BIV@MAC.com, or they could phone me at 925-427-5197.
Right, repeat the email and the phone number.
It's K6BIV@MAC.com, and the phone number is 925-427-5197.
That was Tim Barrett, K6BIV, a board member of NARCC, the Northern Amateur Relay Council of California, and the trustee of the Mount Diablo 145.61 MHz module. Tim was interviewed by Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP. In case you missed Tim's email address, you'll find it on the site's mentioned page on our website. Bill Pasternak's interview with the president of the NFCC can be found at our archive page. The Rain Report is available as a free weekly downloadable MP3 file and podcast from therainreport.com. And for those of you who prefer listening to The Rain Report via your cell phone, the only number you'll need is 773-358-7845. That's 773-358-7845. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2007. Rain, all rights are reserved. Now for Rain's founder, producer, Hap-Holly, KC9RP, I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, wishing you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.